What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. Today, we're here for Survivor Season 46, Episode 9, titled Spicy Jeff. And it's me, and it's Miss Tevin, a.k.a. Julia. And Woo! Speaking of Tevin, he was stunting at Tribal.
Oh, and he looked so pissed.
Oh, he
didn't make any I mean, the king of facial expressions, so just expressive and like, everything,
head.
Eyes. Yeah, he didn't give one thing. No. It was so intentional on his part. He was like ice cold.
Ice cold. But let's talk about the episode because I think me and you have differing opinions on this episode. I think we both agree it went quicker. We got to zip through commercials the first time on Wednesday night, which helped. But to me, this was, I felt like it was a good episode, especially the second half. And the challenge was basically felt like it was right in the beginning of the thing. Yes. So everything after the challenge, I was really interested in because I truly wasn't sure who they were going to go for.
Sure. I think it was a fine episode.
Okay.
I think it was a fine episode. And I think I'm coming at this quite honestly with a lot of Yanu bias. The way that this episode was told to us as the viewers was that it was a Charlie Maria. It felt like it was almost from their POV.
Okay. And you like a Yanu POV.
Apparently.
Yanu is severed, girl.
I know. I love that. They're like, it's dead in the water.
It is. And like feet that under. Came out of nowhere. I thought they were going to be strong. I was waiting till it to be like the end of the game and Tiff kind of has to choose between Q and Kenzie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No, it all imploded today.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It just felt like it felt so obviously like Maria and Charlie are in this place of power. Like even the way that they were shooting conversations around like somebody has an idea and they're meeting as a group. And then the immediate next scene is them showing Charlie and Maria's like sidebar about the plans that were just laid. We're getting the information at one time, but then the first like POV or like reaction to it, we're getting Charlie and Maria. So it's like,
great point.
And I'm glad they're in a position of power. We were saying this last night. I would be happy with either of them winning. I would be happy with Tiff or Kenzie winning. That's probably the four at this point that I wouldn't be like pissed if Venus won.
Right.
I think I would be pissed if Liz wins.
Yes.
I would be pissed if Q wins. And I would be disappointed at this point if Ben wins.
You know, we have a lot of game left, and I think that going back to Charlie and Maria, I do think Charlie's one of the biggest threats on the island right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he's kind of sliding under the radar because his talking heads are very smart, and he goes along with what people are saying, and then he shows us how smart he is in his talking heads, right? Like, when Q says something to him, he nods his head and says, yes, Q. And then he comes to us and is like, what the fuck? No, like, absolutely not. And I don't know that everyone's seeing that, especially now that Hunter's gone and Charlie has came close to beating him last episode, beat him this episode. I think Charlie's a huge threat. I love Maria, and I think she's a really smart player, but she's not coming forth with much strategy and gameplay. Like, even in this episode, she was like trying to take credit or wanting to take credit for a Tiff boot that Kenzie was heading up. But it's like, you got to be bold if you want to take credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Kenzie's going out there and putting her neck on the line and going against her ally and being like, we're fucking doing this.
Yeah.
And talking to people that she doesn't know if she can trust. But Maria's playing safe, I think. And I would like her to step it up a little bit.
It's funny because it feels like the only big moves these days are taking out someone from your quote unquote alliance. Like, Liz is claiming this big move that she made on Tevin. This episode opens with her being really upset that it got overshadowed by Q's chaos. It was kind of sad. We can talk about Liz in like her own container, but that idea of her being like, this is my move, it's big because it's against someone everyone perceived her to be her ally. Kenzie, like you said, putting her neck on the line because Tiff is her number one. Maria wanting to get Tiff out, sure, that could be something she can add to her resume. But honestly, if she's not taking out Charlie, then she's not getting a hill on her scoreboard that matters more than anything anyone else has already done.
And do you agree with that perception?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the big, bold, like memorable moves are when people go against the grain and buck what the alliance structure is, right? It's like,
yeah,
that's what makes it so surprising and shocking and crazy and good television, is that you thought these people were allied and then one of them decides that they need to take the other one out. It's not like, I mean, a blind side is exciting too. Like, I guess this Hunter thing we can talk about, like, is that's a good move. Kenzie thought it was a boring move. I think what made it good was the absolute deceit to his face in tribal.
Yeah.
Like if it wasn't a live tribal, it would have been a boring vote.
Agreed.
I think Maria's playing smart. I think she's got really good people skills. I think she's got a good read on people. I don't even think that her trying to claim this Tiff move, it's in retaliation for Tiff throwing out her name. That's not a big move to me. Like a big move is you putting your ass on the line and being like, this is either going to wreck my game or make it. And we might see that. We got the next week on where she like kind of starts talking to Q and maybe like wanting to use him to turn her game around. But to me, like Maria's big move is severing herself from Charlie, because at this point, what's their like take on how they're playing differently?
That is like the kiss of death when you go to the final two or three with your closest ally. Think Coke and Cheens, right? It's hard to separate, and because they work together the whole time, and then you're like, okay, it's a game of inches at that point. It's like, well, this one won so many immunity idols, and you know what I mean? It's, they have to use like stupid, dumb details to decide to like decipher between you two who actually deserves it.
Yeah.
But going back to something you said about putting your neck on the line to get somebody out and it being a big move if you get out one of your own allies. So funny, because when last week Q was throwing Tiff's name out, I was like, dumb, stupid, idiotic move, because it's all about timing. It's like about the reasons you're doing it. And
yeah,
I think we opened the episode with everyone being pissed and mad and confused at Q, and it was honestly an iconic opener. Everyone's just like, he's a fucking clown, jester, flop. Like, absolutely just like, Ben, sweet Ben, calling him a poser.
I know. Ben hates Q. Oh, my word.
I know.
He said it like it is. I wrote down what he said at Tribal, and I was like, thank you for calling that man out on his bullshit, slap in the face comment to all of you guys being like, if I step out, I'm giving you permission to play the game. It's like, well, what the fuck have we been doing for the past 2 weeks? Like, not playing the game? I mean, I guess Sega was high vibe tribe, but like, whatever. Yeah, Ben really, I mean, it's kind of funny seeing him be so down on Q.
Yeah, and I actually think Ben had a great episode, because Ben was, again, calling him a poser, saying like, no one's voting for this guy. And then at the end, calling him out. But I think he's in a good spot. I mean, people keep throwing his name out, but he's right in the middle. So this means
he's in like a camouflage spot.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing, in this game, they just got out three Nami's in a row, when Soda, Tevin, Hunter. And I would say all three of those were, well, Soda kind of died down, but Tevin and Hunter, two huge threats, quote unquote, people I would say are ahead of Ben in the pecking order, meaning like next person we get out, maybe it's Tiff, maybe it's someone else. Ben all of a sudden starts moving up and he's one of the top guys.
I know. What the heck?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's okay with me. I'm actually liking Ben more and more every episode, as long as they like give us Ben scenes, because sometimes we just don't.
Yeah. He's fallen a little bit to the wayside.
Yeah, definitely. But
what were we saying though?
Kind of finish out Q, because. Mm-hmm. Do you read him as a pathological liar like I do?
If you asked me last week, I would have said yes. This week, because I honestly thought that he was going to try to play off his thing at Tribal as like a strategic play and say, this was intentional and this was the reason I did and that. I was really shocked that he just said like, I made a mistake and like, I was making a scramble, it didn't work, like it led to chaos, and like now I just gotta figure it out from here. I actually kind of appreciated that, but he's a little cuckoo banuku for sure. I mean, him and Tiff fighting over top, like they were sitting so far away from each other and like fighting over everybody's heads at Tribal was like, he's a little delusional in some of the things he was saying, like that Tiff was ruining her. She was tanking her own game because she was throwing people's names out. This is Survivor, my guy. Like, that's what you do.
There's two things.
You try to make moves.
He said, one, Venus was never the vote.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And he's the one who was like, should we do Venus? And Tiff's like, no, I don't want to do Venus. And that was it. And so she said, you were calling out Venus's name. And he's like, the vote was never Venus. And then someone said something about Hunter. And he was like, I never said Hunter's name. And everyone was like, yes, you did. What? Like, you wanted them to throw the game to get him out. You wanted Charlie and Maria to throw the challenge in order to get him out. So that's what I'm calling him, pathological. Just because he's so up and down. Half his confessionals were being like, yeah, I fucked up. And the other half were like, now I can play the game I want to play. I don't think I have to think about Kenzie or Tip or anything. And then it's so up and down. It's so sporadic.
I don't think they know what story to tell with him anymore, because I think he's all over the place, that it's like, it's not cohesive as far as like what he's giving.
It's giving Banu.
Oh, God. Banu, did we say this? He is inhabiting his body now.
Yeah,
he's taken over.
No, the funniest thing
is in the driver's seat.
The funniest thing I think you said was, could you imagine Banu at this tribal?
Oh my God, Banu at a live tribal would be sitting there rocking back and forth in the fetal position.
He'd be screaming to God. He really would
throw him in the fire. He would not know what to do. Would not know what to do. He would be like holding Kenzie's hand, and she'd just be like dragging him around to like, all right, we got to talk to Ben now, and we got to talk to Tiff now.
I'm on Banu. He's not. I'm really so glad.
That would have been so painful.
Definitely.
All right. For him.
So let's talk about Liz. How do you feel about her crying because she doesn't want to get lost in the game? Because I feel like she could have still gotten clout for that Tevin vote. Like, she's crying about being lost in the game. Okay, do something about it. Like, go tell people. I don't think you stole her thunder that much. I think in general, like, you don't want to be known as a gigantic threat who just got someone out, but you want it to be known enough where you can claim it as your own.
For sure. I think it's like the Emily flipping of it all, like her taking out Bruce and then being like, getting back to camp and being like, that was me 100%. I just did that.
Death sentence.
Is a death sentence for sure. I think Liz probably had it in her mind of how this tribal council was going to go, how it was going to feel having like people give her props and like feel some respect when she got back to camp afterwards. And it was just all talk about Q that I think she probably, it just wasn't the way she saw it in her head.
I don't know how I feel about Liz. I can't get a read because on Twitter, I see people being like standing Liz.
She's making me sad.
Last episode, people were giving her like player of the episode.
No.
And yeah, she was making me sad too. I don't know, because they were leaving her out of the vote in this one. And then even Hunter was like staring at her from across the tribe being like, you're voting for Q, right? We're voting for Q. And she's just like, yes, I'm voting for Q.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like she is actually getting lost a little bit.
That's what makes me sad, is because I think she is. I think the waves are just like, she's just peeking her head up over the water and she's really, really, really trying to like get some footing and get some momentum. And it must be very telling about how she feels or what she experiences in her day-to-day life, because this is like her confessional of her like getting upset and emotional about not wanting to get lost. Like, that, even that saying, like, I don't want to get lost in this game, is like, it's just like, I'm picturing her. Yeah, I'm picturing her just like in a crowded room in her everyday life and just feeling really unseen. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel really quite sad for her, but I
Liz,
still
are you okay,
don't,
girl?
I still don't really see her myself. So I can't, you know, I said I don't want her to win. So I don't know. There's things I'm liking about her. I do appreciate that she's very firm in her convictions. She's like, y'all can do what you want to do. I'm voting for Tevin. And that's
that. I like that too.
This episode, I'm voting for Q, and that's that. And she stood by it and she did. And I think that goes a long way, especially when these people are liars.
Yes.
These lying liars.
Mm-hmm.
They're good at it too.
Kenzie's the best.
Yeah, but she didn't even lie.
Kenzie lied. Kenzie was lying straight to Hunter's face the entire time.
No, she voted for Q.
Only at the end. She was voting for Hunter, I think.
Until
it's like she wanted to vote Tiff. And then when the Tiff thing got squashed because of the idol, she switched right to Hunter. She's like, fine, I'll vote for Hunter. And then Hunter goes up to her at one point and was like, have you heard anything like blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, you're good. No, we're good. And then, yeah. And then he goes up to her again later and is like, you're my number one. Like she was totally voting Hunter for sure. She's the biggest liar.
She's good. Tiff's good too. I mean, you know, you wonder how much of it is like overplay. You know, in hindsight, it's like, oh, was Tiff getting so mad about Q and trying to have this performative thing where she's fighting about him and with him and like saying, you know, this is how he lies, Jeff, to throw Hunter off the scent. I think Charlie did the same thing and being like, Jeff, let me ask you a question. How many more of these tribal councils can I stomach? Is like insinuating that he needs Q out because of the chaos. All these things are performative things. That to me is like the good lying of it all.
Yeah.
But hard to tell. Like it's really hard to tell if you're someone like Hunter, how to read those people. But now he knows because he's like, these people lied to Tevin's face and he believed them and I believe them. Could they be steamrolling me? Liz, to me, is the only person that like, if she gets to the end, she can be like, I stood my ground in the votes that I had. I never lied to your face and said I did. Like, I voted for the people I said I was going to vote for, whatever. You know, she's not like doing this like play up at tribal council.
Yeah, I think that Liz's issue is that she doesn't have a single ally and neither does Venus. So both of these people are loners, meaning like Q has now isolated himself. So now we have three loners that no one wants to work with. And maybe, you know, all of them can get picked up as free agents for sure.
What about Ben? Where do you put him in that?
Kenzie loves Ben. Like, I feel like Ben is good friends with Charlie and Maria because they see the thing. How about Hunter being like, yeah, Venus, but you're always mad. So like, what am I supposed to, like? It's
yeah,
so
you're
funny.
Unlikable. You're unlikable, V.
It said unkillable is what the thing said. Yeah, the closed caption said unkillable.
Oh, really? Maybe I'm dyslexic. I read it as unlikable.
Two times in a row when I watched it, it said unkillable. And I'm like, why are they saying that? I feel like unlikable. Whoa. Makes more sense, but I think it said unkillable because you could barely hear it because they're like it's Q and Hunter like talking over each other. Yeah. Either way, these three isolated people, they're gonna need to get picked up at some point. And if Liz can just grab somebody and start making moves and have them be like a true ally for her, I think she can make ways, but I just don't know who that would be.
It feels late. It feels really late to be like,
I mean,
because to me it's not an alliance anymore. It's a voting block. If Liz are to pick somebody up, it's like, who am I going to vote with for this next vote? And then who am I going to vote with for the next vote? And then the one after that. Like, it's no longer like he's my number one. It's like, this is my person in this moment because we have agendas that converge and like a path we both see with going with the same plan. But I feel like the idea of alliance like is like,
unless she were to pair up with one of the other isolated people like Q or Venus, because then I feel like you can actually stick with each other until the end. But Liz and Venus don't want to be together. They already spent all of NAMI together. They don't want to be together. God. So
what if the final three is Liz, Venus and Q?
We just will do the U and not watch the finale. Okay, let's talk about the challenge quickly. So same fucking challenge as last season. Three teams of three, three sections, and teams fall off as they go. And then when the final three happens, one of them's going to win immunity. I wish that the three of them got a reward. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, we're on episode 9 and there's been like no cool rewards. What gives? What's going on?
I mean, there's never cute. It's the tuna fish. It's tuna fish all day, every day.
I know, but that was even like, yeah, it's
that's
so
the
boring.
Last one I remember. I don't remember what the last one is. Remember when they gave them a chicken and there were just like no forks here?
Yeah. What the fuck?
And like they used to take them on like excursions. I loved the excursions.
Can I give you a 2-minute quick update of where I'm at in my Survivor watch journey? Because I'm on Australia now. I'm on the finale of Australia, season 2.
Jesus.
And there's a scene where they get a reward and they eat food for the first time in a really long time because they like starved to death on Australia. And then all the boys like immediately start shitting themselves, like actually sprinting into the woods. And then they're all like, we got to get in the water immediately. Like the one guy says, so the camp doesn't smell like ass, I need to get in the water. I'm like, this is one of the first times I've ever seen people kind of acknowledge the stank and grossness of being like,
ew,
I just shit myself. but anyway, Australia, they're starving and it gets really fucking bleak. But there's one point where like Colby and Jerry get to go to the Great Barrier Reef and they're like eating such good food and they're like snorkeling and it's so fun. And I'm like,
and they're like on a date.
Where is the Fiji? Yeah, the episode is literally called like Honeymoon or Not.
No.
Yeah, but spoiler alert. Nah.
Ooh.
For the record, okay. I'm Team Jerry over Colby, just for anyone who's
of
listening.
Of course. Colby, no shoulders.
Donaldson. Damn it, Reed. For the record, and another record, we've seen Heroes, Villains, but we hadn't seen season two.
Don't add us on that.
But we've seen him scream at his brother in pure fury.
Oh my God.
Reason. Anyway, so how'd you feel about the challenge and Charlie winning, etc.?
I was happy Charlie won. You know, this challenge is like, it's whatever. I like honestly forgot when Liz was first reading the tree mail of like three, you must split into three. I was like, oh my God, what is this? But I don't mind. Like, it's, you know, it's a strategic thing to be like, again, like, do you want to be, you kind of want to be on like the, you want to be the best on like the middling team so that you have a chance, but like you could really have a chance at the end.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, I don't, no comment.
So
beyond that,
it felt like they knew what this was. And I don't like that.
Was it the exact same like obstacles?
It doesn't necessarily need to be the same as exact obstacles for them to be like, oh, I know exactly. I just feel like it's all very predictable. They need to just switch everything up every season. Like, it could be something that they've done before, but maybe not like make the same formula multiple seasons in a row.
Sure.
And I can't remember if that was, I can't remember if that was just a 45 and 46 thing. So maybe they didn't even see it on 45. I don't fucking know.
Okay. Speaking of, this is like a little bit just like, stay with me. We've talked a lot about the new era feeling very formulaic. You know, we've talked like the colors feel the same. The setting is the same. We talked about the steps at the camp.
Yes.
I was really like, again, just so taken out of the survivorness of it all in seeing them hang out at the same like three spots at camp.
Okay.
Like they're hanging out on this like log thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're hanging out on the like overturned.
Yeah. What is
little
that?
Ship? Like little boat? Little ship. What? Little boat? It's a massive ship. No, it's like a little like dinghy kind of boat. Just feels like a freaking set. It feels like a set they're on.
Okay.
Like they're like over at the camp and then they're like, oh, so-and-so's on the stairs. Oh, so-and-so's down by the boat. Everything feels like these like prescribed hangout places. Like it was reminding me of my summer camp days. We had this place that you would send people to like when you had nothing to do. You'd be like, all right, just go down to benches. Just go down to benches. And like you would send kids down to benches. I just feel like these people are like being sent by their camp counselors, like out of their cabin and down to benches. They're like, go down to benches and like hang out at the boat and occupy yourselves.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, what else are they supposed to do? Are you more complaining that the set itself is boring?
That it's a set at all.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm thinking of like I just saw Borneo. I'm finishing up Australia and I'm trying to think of what. Australia is crazy because they changed camp so many times. Like a river took out their entire camp at one point, so they had to move. Like, I feel like that changed almost every episode and was interesting. And
sure,
I think it's less this set and more that we've seen this Fiji set for 100 seasons in a row. I think it's just that it's been in Fiji constantly. There's nothing interesting about it. It's just a beach. It's so not interesting that they have to flip over a ship and a large ship and they have to add stairs because they're like, what can we do to spice this up? I don't know, stairs.
Yeah, it just like.
And there's also nothing interesting about the camp they made for themselves. Like, there's no personality.
It doesn't need to be, but, like, some of the things I'm thinking of, like, I have so burned in my brain just, like, that little watering hole that they had in Token Jeans that you could tell was, like, a thing they found. And they, like, that became where they did their fishing. And, like, Coach and JT are having conversations there. And then they have that, like... Yeah. Completely different. Like, that's like a little bit more wooded and like covered. Then they had that completely like wide open body of little water that they would go and rinse off in. And just like everything felt like a little bit further out. I feel like everyone can see who's down at the benches this way and who's down at the logs this way. And I also feel like they're just going to the same, like, is this the same beach that they always send the merged tribes to? Because it feels so lived in.
Okay, I'm on your side. I'm on your page. Yep.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very formulaic. You're right. It just feels like copy paste season after season.
Yeah.
This one, I guess they have like the well that they've talked at a few times, but it's not exciting. And we're not seeing them like who's boiling the water, who's making the fire, who's doing any of these things. We're not seeing any of that. Somehow it's an hour and a half and we're not seeing anyone actually do anything. Who can make
survival
a fire?
Skills.
I don't know.
Yeah. Are they Who's making the fires? I don't even know.
I don't know. Is there a fire? Because we've never
everything's
we don't
in,
see
like,
them
night
sleep.
Vision. No, we only saw them sleep when Ben woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. That's
I think
enough
it's worth talking about. I think so.
Sure.
Okay. So now we're at the scramble and Kenzie cracking me up being like, so does anyone want to volunteer to go home tonight?
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I do love Kenzie. I'm a big fan.
Me too. She's
How great. About you trying to make Kenzie mad at Tiff?
Stupid.
And then Kenzie takes that and goes, yeah, and I'm going to get Tiff out now. Like, even though she goes to Tiff and is like, Q tried to make me mad at you. I don't care. And then was like, actually, I'm going to get her out.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. No, the thing that you said when we were watching it is she says, and I love that she says, she's like, Q, I don't want to work with you today.
Yeah.
Right now, ever, maybe ever again. And Q says, I'm not asking you to work for me. To work for him.
God.
As part of his organization. He's off his rocker.
He and Hunter, I don't think, respect women.
Why do you say that about Hunter?
There was a deleted scene where he was talking about Liz's pants. And I think they say, no boys cry.
There were the NSYNC ones, the NSYNC pants.
And he's like, I'm a boy. And like, he totally misread it and was just like, I'm a boy, so I don't appreciate seeing that like right away. But I think it's just a gag we're doing that he doesn't respect women. Like, I feel like
I think he's just an idiot.
Let's get to it. Because Hunter is scrambling like crazy. And he says point blank in the episode before they go to tribal, I am absolutely playing my idol.
Yeah.
Someone like Hunter could very well win any immunity challenge. And he's so good at the game that use your idol and then go find it again. Tiff says, I don't want to use this idol because I don't want Q and Hunter to find it. That's the downside. Yeah. Because Hunter can sprint around and climb trees and find this thing. So why did Hunter go home with a fucking idol in your pocket? Play the idol, especially how he was acting during tribal and before, so anxious. Thoughts?
Many. The thing about playing your idol incorrectly, right? Playing your idol and getting no votes or not getting enough votes that it would have made a difference or actually impacted the outcome. My feelings on it are that there's always a way out of a situation if you find yourself in a bit of a pickle, but there's never a way back in to the game.
Yeah, agreed.
So if you play an idol incorrectly, quote unquote, you've now bought yourself time to try to make that story work for you, to try to get yourself out of a situation where you can say, this game is about survival. I played that idol because I wanted to survive another day. And I thought that's what it was going to take. And how can you illustrate that story to be not a weak move, right?
Yep.
But if you don't play it and you're out, there's no way to get back in. So it's mm-hmm. silly to me. Like, burn it, play it, whatever, and then take the time that you just bought yourself to figure out a way to spin it in your favor.
All it needed to be was, and I think that Hunter heard this, him saying, I heard Charlie and Maria on the beach say my name. You know the shot I'm talking about? It's like yeah. Charlie and Maria talking about Hunter. And do you think that he heard that? The way they shot it made it seem like he could hear.
Maybe. I don't know. I think when his ears picked up was when Tiff says that Q was saying running around saying Hunter. That's where he starts to get really paranoid in tribal. And he's looking around to everybody and he's sweating and he's asking people, is it like, play? I mean, he's even like, he's mid-sentence about something and he's like, stops to look around at the rest of it. Like, he's shifty eyes the whole time. It's painful to watch.
I don't know how anyone strung a complete sentence together with how much distraction and whispering and eyes at each other.
Oh, I was not listening to the words anyone was saying.
I think even Jeff was probably like, I don't know. Yeah. It was another crazy tribal. And it was a live tribal without anyone actually standing up to do it. Because everyone was like...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, mostly Hunter. And then... everyone trying to make Hunter feel better. And I mean, it really was Q versus Hunter. It was interesting that it got put on Q at the last second. Because Venus wanted Q the whole time. Venus is like, I'm sick of this guy.
And she seemed pretty sure of it. Like, I've been saying this. He's going home. It's Q. It's Q.
To me, Hunter was the right vote. Hunter is,
I agree.
Like I said, can win every immunity challenge if you don't get him out. You know?
I agree. And they said chaos is going to be chaos. The camp is chaotic, just as like the bars in hell. So Q also being contributing to that chaos. We know the flavor we're going to get. And it's like, can I deal with that to be able to keep somebody around that I know is not going to win this game over me versus keeping Hunter? It was the right call. I was pretty ready to see Q go. I'm not going to lie, just because he's getting on my nerves.
I disagree a little bit there because I think that he is still giving decent TV, whereas Hunter really wasn't giving any TV to
me. That's fair.
And that's fair. I would like an actual challenge for some of these people. Like, Hunter's too good. I like when it's a more even playing field, and that's what Ben had said. Ben's like, I want Hunter out to make it an even playing field because I don't think I can beat him. And Tiff said the same thing. I don't think I can beat this guy when it comes to the physical stuff. And that's frustrating when you have someone that's just monopolizing a certain part of the game.
Totally.
Let's talk about DJ Jazzy Jeff. Who is this man at Tribal? Since when does he do bits at Tribal?
Again, like, we're talking about this, like, taking me out of it. Everything felt so scripted. Everything felt so like, this is a television show and here I've got my popcorn and a comfy seat and we're on set, y'all. Like, it just, I was not about it. Like, quit it.
I thought he was actually admitting fault to something at some point. I was like, what? Because the way he said it was so weird. He's like,
it's mine.
I think it could have been better. And I think it's my fault. And I'm like, what is he about to say? Because I didn't recall him doing anything wrong last episode. And then he just like brings the seat out. I'm like, tomato, tomato, tomato.
Big tomato smash. Like, on his noggin.
I just want to know if any of the players actually do worship, if they still worship him like that, or they are only pretending worship because they're on the show and Jeff is Jeff. Like, I feel like if I'm that, I'd be like, tomato, tomato, tomato.
I too would be like, tomato, tomato. And I might even throw a cabbage at him.
Like, right in the face. I thought that was lame. And you had said, I think you said that you think the only reason they even brought the popcorn is so Liz doesn't perish.
And especially because they didn't get rice. I think they're like, please feed them like some, like the like nutrition coach was like, they need to have 15 calories. Can you please give them 15 calories?
Well, they needed to do more than that. The tiniest bowl in the world of popcorn.
So embarrassing.
Venus picked up like 3 pieces.
She dug in there and Liz was like, from like the back, like the wall where she was.
Liz was like, save me some. And someone, I think it was maybe Tiff, was like, everyone will get some.
That was the, they're like camp counselors again.
I loved that.
They're like,
Go to the benches.
Go to the benches, Liz.
Go to the benches. But yeah, I thought it was a good episode. The tribals haven't let me down.
Tribals are wackadoony dunes.
Yes.
Loony toony doony dunes. They are just so wild.
Did you play the mini crossword today?
I can't remember.
The three down was wackadoodle, total wackadoodle. And it's five letters. And Rob Sesternino tweeted Bonnet, like wrote Bonnet. And I had to then immediately play it because I was like, this can't be true.
And no. What was it? I think I did play it, but I might have got like the other ones and not written that word. Let me look too and we can compare our times.
It was inane.
Oh.
How many seconds did you get it in?
I'm going to tell you, little bitch.
Tell me, big bitch. I got it in a minute 29. I can't say.
128.
That's so funny because I spent time thinking about Bonu. So that was a second's worth. But I wrote crazy. That was the first one I clicked because I was so excited about it. Yeah. Anyway. Any final thoughts on the episode? I think another favorite thing of mine was when Hunter's telling Venus about the idol and he's like, you look unimpressed. And Venus is like, what? What do you want me to do?
That was stupid.
Do a split? Like,
do a cartwheel backflip, background handoff.
Because you have a fucking idol? She's like, no, sorry. Yeah. I was just doing some math.
Well, no, it's kind of silly because here's the thing. He brings that up like they were fully ready to go to tribal, I believe, because he's like putting on his glasses, he's packed up his bag, he's got his backpack on his thing, he's asking Q like, should we go get water, like as in before we walk to tribal, and then he starts telling people like, oh yeah, by the way, I have an idol. And it's like, if these are people that you maybe like were on the original tribes with them, the Namis, and you're like maybe could have been a voting block for this block, and now you're like, they were just like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like, what am I supposed to go like, yes, oh my God, this changes everything in the 20 seconds we have left before we go up to tribal.
Totally.
Like, what? And he's like, play ball with me. Just play ball with me.
And then to not play it, because now it's like people know you just put another target on your back, a double target on your back. I mean, just play it. Save yourself. If I ever went home with an idol in my pocket,
That's two now. I don't think anyone's going to successfully play an idol.
I mean, if I'm him, I'm like, why couldn't I stay on that fucking Jesus Christ challenge 1 second longer? Why didn't I play the idol? I'd be, oh my God, I'd be.
Yeah, we said he's like, stupid, 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 stupid.
Yeah, punching himself in the head.
Smacking himself. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah, chicky, chicky. That's it.
We will be back for episode 10. We are in double digits already somehow. It feels crazy. And we're having fun. Special, I like it now. I'm like, week? What'd you say?
Special guest next week?
Special guest Margaret next week, friend of the pod. Mm-hmm. If you listen to 45 coverage, you'll remember her. I forget what episode it was, but it was a fun time. She's an angel.
Sister-in-law to the pod.
Sister-in-law to the pod. Okay.
Love you, girl.
Well, that's the episode. Go to our Discord, link in the bio, if you want to hang out with us. And then follow us at Bingetown TV, and you'll never miss an episode. That's our main feed. We are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.